presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I hope you'll stay tuned in just a few minutes. I do have something important to tell you about the Marlowe's event tomorrow. I've got some interesting news on that. I'll give you that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me dive into the news of the day as it is. And, you know, here in the Atlanta area where we have Dog Nation World Headquarters, where we do this show from every day, there is obviously a lot of attention on the Super Bowl right now. And from the Georgia fans' perspective, there is something really fascinating about both these teams, the Rams from the NFC, the New England Patriots from the AFC, both being led by former Georgia running back. Sony Michel had a terrific rookie season for the Patriots this year, had a big performance in the AFC Championship game. Todd Gurley is just one of the best players in the NFL, bar none, regardless of position. So it's really fun to see both those guys in Atlanta enjoying the success they're having when it comes to their NFL careers. And it's also really nice to see the affection that both these guys still have for the University of Georgia. That was on display with Gurley on, I think it was Saturday. I forget if it's Friday or Saturday. All this stuff kind of runs together. But he is in L.A. before the team makes its way to Atlanta. He's doing kind of a final press conference there in California before moving over. And if you're watching on video, you can obviously see the huge Georgia G on the red sweatshirt that he's wearing. And I got to tell you, that is a perfect commercial for this Georgia program, for the Super Bowl, to see Todd Gurley, you know, kind of relaxed, comfortable, sporting the Georgia G. You just love to see that if you're a Georgia fan, especially in a year like this where Georgia is, or as you move towards that 2020 cycle anyway, where Georgia is looking to add those running backs, more elite running backs of the caliber that Gurley became, of the caliber that Michelle was out of high school and was throughout his Georgia career. Georgia's looking for that next generation of that, and seeing Gurley splashed all over social media and national TV wearing the Georgia G, well, you got to imagine that really helps Georgia's cause. There was also one more thing on the Gurley front before we kind of get into more of the recruiting angle of this that I thought was pretty interesting. AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in LA to cover this, and D. Orlando Ledbetter was on hand in Los Angeles, and obviously if you've got Gurley wearing the Georgia G, you got to ask him about the other Georgia running back in the game. I mean, let's face it, you know, I'm more interested in the interplay between those two than I am virtually anything else. As you know, I'm much more of a college fan than a pro football fan. I'm excited about the game, but primarily my excitement is centered around the presence of the Georgia players in the game. So I was glad to see in LA D. Orlando Ledbetter ask Gurley about his relationship with Sony Michel. Now, I think you got to give Gurley a lot of credit for this, because while we are all into the, hey, look at the Georgia guys in the Super Bowl, from the perspective of Todd Gurley, he's like, that's not my brother this week. That's an enemy this week. That's a guy that I've got to worry about as a nemesis this week. And so from the standpoint of a competitor, I actually kind of liked what Gurley said about this. Here is the AJC reporter asking Gurley about Sony Michel, and Gurley essentially giving the stiff arm to that question. Take a listen to this.
You got your Georgia sweater on there. You and Sony meeting up again in the Super Bowl after, you know, being together for that 1 year in 2014.
It's cool. It's cool. We on the other side, though, so we don't talk about it.
So he says, listen, he's on the other side right now. I'm not interested in talking about that kind of stuff. And you like the idea that the competitive spirit for Todd Gurley takes over right there. But you know that these two guys are proud for each other. And obviously the fun they had together as Georgia teammates back in 2014, that's going to be a big subplot and a big storyline for this week. And it could not, as I said before, be more perfect timing for Georgia as it looks to add to the next generation of that great RBU legacy. Take this weekend, for instance. Zachary Evans, one of the top running backs for the class of 2020. He was on hand in Athens. He had tweeted out some stuff. He eventually deletes those tweets, and y'all know I'm 1,000 years old. I don't always, know and understand what the social media stuff means. I don't know if it's a nothing that the tweets get deleted. I don't know if that's a serious thing that the tweets get deleted. I don't know if that's bad news for Georgia that he goes there, takes a bunch of pictures, then takes those off Twitter. It's probably way too early to tell all that kind of stuff, but it is, I guess, worth pointing out that some of the stuff that Evans put out on Twitter identifying himself at UGA, he has since deleted those tweets, so we'll sort of wait and make sense what that means. But obviously Evans is one of those names, along with Kendall Milton and others, that you start really thinking about in terms of that next great potential Georgia running back that Dale McGee's trying to chase down. Evans fits into that conversation for sure. But There's also another name to add into that, because when I talk about running backs, I do talk about Kendall Milton a lot, but it's probably time to start talking about another name in that discussion as well. His name is Marshawn Lloyd. If you're watching on video, I'll show you Lloyd's tweet of himself there at the University of Georgia wearing, as a lot of those recruits do, the black jersey for that. But Lloyd is a guy that if you've been focused in on the Evans and the Milton, two names we probably mentioned here around Dog Nation Daily more so than the others, it's probably about time to start thinking a lot more about Lloyd as that running back that Georgia's really going to be chasing down for 2020. The reason why I say that, the reason why I know that, is because of all the stuff that Jeff Sintel has said about that. First of all, it's not just Jeff who's excited about the potential of Lloyd at the University of Georgia. Another recruit that that Georgia's also been in the mix with as of late, Brett Scyther, the tight end who could be a late addition to the 2019 class, filling a position of need for Georgia now that Isaac Nada is going to try his hand at the NFL and Luke Ford decided to transfer. Scyther also had a tweet celebrating the fact that Marshawn Lloyd was on the Georgia campus. Scyther obviously excited about seeing that, seeing the presence of Lloyd in Athens. And as I said before, it's probably about time to start thinking a lot more about what Lloyd brings to the table. We mentioned 2020 running backs like Kendall Milton. Maybe it's time to start mentioning Marshawn Lloyd right there beside that. That's at least what Jeff Sintel tells us we ought to be doing. Let me give you an example of this. If you want to go back to Wednesday, we were having a conversation on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. That's the recruiting show we do each and every week. Jeff asked me what I thought was a pretty provocative question. I gave an answer, and Jeff, in a polite way, said, "Hold on, LBA. Make sure you mention another name as frequently as you mention this particular name." The clip kind of speaks for itself. Here's an interplay between Jeff and me from Before the Hedges, but it's certainly relevant in light of the fact that Marshawn Lloyd was just on the Georgia campus. Take a listen to this.
I'm giving you a magic wand, which instantly puts two of these guys in the 2020 class, just two. Which two are you
picking? With all due respect to Brian Brzee, mine are Aree Gilbert and Kendall Milton right now.
Marshawn Lloyd. Keep thinking about Marshawn Lloyd.
Okay.
He's a five-star running back.
I like Milton because of the interview you did with him, though.
So, and forget the fact that I completely talk over Jeff as he's trying to talk about Marshawn Lloyd. Put that aside for a moment. Here I am mentioned. Now, the question is, hey, if you can only have two of the elite 2020 recruits right now, which two would you want? I mentioned Brian Brzee, the 2020 pass rusher, and I say, with all due respect to him, mine would be the tight end, Aree Gilbert, the running back, Kendall Milton. Jeff's response there, when you're mentioning Kendall Milton, make sure you mention Marshawn Lloyd as well. And that's great news because Lloyd did just visit UGA. Jeff told us on Friday he was going to and went into a little more detail about what that visit could mean for UGA. On the heels of Lloyd being in Athens, the elite 2020 running back, here's more from Jeff on Lloyd.
Georgia, huge weekend this weekend. A lot of elite juniors are coming into town. Perhaps some of the biggest names that are going to show up, besides the official visitor and Javon Shepherd for the 2019 class, who's there right now, is a five-star running back by the name of Marshawn Lloyd. Now, he's a thick, impressive. We put the highlights up on the Dog Nation Forum all week about Marshawn Lloyd, about 6'1", about 205, already reps out 225 on the bench 20-plus times. Has a little bit of flex of Gurley, a little bit of flex of Chubb, and a little bit of flex of Sony Michel in his game. And he's in Athens right now for an unofficial visit along with a lot of other key juniors this weekend.
Now, you want to talk about a Frankenstein's monster of a running back? If Jeff Sintel's description is true and he's a little bit of Todd Gurley, he's a little bit of Nick Chubb, he's a little bit of Sony Michel, it's almost a conversation itself of which of those attributes from those three running backs you'd want to combine to make the best possible running back. But that certainly gets your attention when Jeff says this guy reminds you a little bit of these recent three very good Georgia running backs. And, you know, sometimes with Jeff, obviously I'm going to be guilty of trying to read between the lines and kind of pull some things out of him that he doesn't want to say. But what I just gave you were a couple of instances where I didn't really bring up Marshawn Lloyd to him. He brought Lloyd up to us. Remember, back on Before the Hedges on Wednesday, I'm talking about Kendall Milton, and Jeff interjects to say, don't forget about Marshawn Lloyd. On Friday from Dog Nation Daily, which is where that last clip came from, I'm talking about whatever, and Jeff says, hey, let me also talk for a minute about Marshawn Lloyd. When Jeff interjects those things, when I didn't intentionally ask them about it, that usually kind of perks me me up, usually gets my attention a bit. So I did go down the road with Jeff a little more about the 2020 running back who was just in the building or in Athens over the weekend. And what Jeff told us on Friday is when it comes to Lloyd, part of the value is not just the fact that Lloyd himself is an elite prospect, but it's also an area of the country that Georgia's really going to look to unlock in both maybe the remainder of the 2019 class, also going into the 2020 class as well. This is another interesting wrinkle to the Marshawn Lloyd thing, the fact that Georgia is now invading the D.C. area, that part of Maryland. Here's Jeff Sintel again.
Yeah, perhaps maybe one of the biggest central regions of talent for Georgia in the 2020 class is going to be that D.C. metro area. And you've got Mikael Sherman there. That's the five-star linebacker out of St. John's who runs 4.5s on the laser. You've got Brian Brzee. That's the nation's number one overall prospect for 2020 coming out of Maryland. And then you've got the aforementioned Mr. Lloyd, who is, you know, races the nation's number four running back. And it is what it is, man. That gentleman named Del McGee is going to go after five stars first. And then he's going to look at the national elite backs. And he's been working those guys for over a year now already.
So listen, I mean, that could not speak for itself more that Georgia is now, much the same way the 2019 class showed, the 2020 class, I guess, going to be a replica of that, a program that's really looking to recruit at the national level, going after five-star backs in Maryland and California and Texas and wherever else. This is a program that's going to try to stretch far and wide, and the presence of Todd Gurley and Sony Michel in the Super Bowl, I would think, only helps doing that. Let me squeeze in one more mention here as well, because it wasn't just 2020 backs were on hand. You also had the 2021 backs at McGowan in the building as well on a Saturday. That's a top 10 back for that class. He's also showing the black jersey as well. So listen, the timing on this is pretty perfect. Georgia's talking to backs. They're pursuing big names, and they got Todd Gurley wearing the Georgia G all over national television. Sony Michel's going to get a lot of attention tonight. It's Super Bowl opening night. Dog Nation's going to be on hand for that. And so the echo of what people say about Gurley, what people say about Michel, will reach to the Zachary Evans and the Marshawn Lloyds and the Kendall Miltons and players of that caliber. And all of a sudden, Del McGee, who's done some great work for Georgia in the recruiting trail, may be about to regenerate this RBU reputation with some more big names and recruiting cycles to come. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thank you for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on the radio at noon with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found. We're just really glad to have you with us. We will have Chip Towers coming up in just a moment, a couple of interesting things to get into with Chip when he's with us. There is one announcement that I have to give you, and I don't love having to do this, but you know, based on the conversation we've had here this morning, this is the best overall thing. We were going to be at Marlowe's tomorrow night for a gigantic event, the Marlowe's Tavern in Kennesaw, Georgia. It was our countdown to signing day event. Jeff told us on Friday we had a special guest who is likely to join us there tomorrow night. It was going to be a big, fun event. But given the uncertain nature of the weather forecast in the Atlanta area, I think the people in charge here are going to kind of let, I guess, caution be the right choice. So we're going to go ahead and postpone our event for Kennesaw tomorrow. We're postponing it now because we want to make sure that the word gets out, the message gets out that, don't be on the roads. If there's going to be bad weather, stay home, stay safe. Obviously, that's Marlowe's Tavern's number one issue. They want to make sure the people that, come out to their taverns are always really safe in their neighborhood. So they've asked that we all stay safe tomorrow and reschedule the event in Kennesaw, Georgia for sometime in the very near future. And we indeed will be doing that. We'll be at Kennesaw, Georgia soon, just not tomorrow night, as it turns out. We're going to reschedule that because in the Atlanta area where we do the show from every day, there is the appearance that there could be some snowy, bad weather coming in. So we're going to push pause on Marlowe's Tavern tomorrow, but we'll have some fun events to announce coming up very soon about being at another Marlowe's Tavern very soon, and also back in Kennesaw, Georgia very soon as well. So I don't love having to say that. I was really looking forward to being in Kennesaw, Georgia tomorrow night, but it's probably the right call, so let's go ahead and do that, and we'll make our plans to be back in Kennesaw, Georgia again very soon. Before I bring on Chip Towers, let me also go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And Tony Barnhart, the longtime college football writer, is a great friend of Dog Nation Daily. In fact, I'm going to try to have Tony on really soon to talk about this. Tony goes on the Paul Feinbaum show this week. You want to talk about it, or it was actually last week. You want to talk about a perfect thread of conversation given what we started the show with today and given kind of everything that's been out there with Gurley and Michelle playing in the Super Bowl and Georgia looking for more elite running backs for the class of 2020 and class of 2021, the conversation came up on that show of, well, who are the best running backs of all time? Now, Tony is a student of college football. He could, you know, very well, you know, go back and tell you the stories of, you know, every great player really in the history of the Georgia program, even the ones from before his time. He's obviously studied them and know them well, so he's a great person to ask about this. But anytime you put a list out there, there's going to be a little controversy about what you put. So I think we have some evidence we can show of what Tony's top 15 looks like. If you're on video, you can take a look at this now. We're going to get more into this later on in the show, but he's obviously got Herschel number one. No one would dispute that. Then he goes Charlie Trippi, kind of an old school name for number two. You do get Nick Chubb at number three. You don't get to Todd Gurley until number five, and you don't get to Sony Michel until number seven on this list. As I said, lists are going to be controversial. My guess is a lot of Georgia fans will have a strong reaction to kind of who should be that back that ranks right below Herschel. No one's going to put someone above Herschel, but who belongs just below him? That's actually a pretty fun conversation. We're going to do that a little later on today here on Dog Nation Daily as we have some fun with the fact that Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, or I should say Sony Michel and Todd Gurley, are both in the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. For now, though, let me remind you that around the doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. And, you know, they can help you equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors, which is a great addition to make to your house. They're family-owned and operated with a national company with a branch right here in Georgia. It means you get the power and the strength of a national company, but you also get that local service that comes when you have that local branch. So you're going to want to take advantage of a great offer they have right now. You can currently get up to 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 60 months. And you got to act right now because that offer is only good through February 7th. So you want to go quickly to take advantage of that. You can schedule your in-home consultation a couple different ways. You can log on to the website, which is PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. The number once again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. We'll have some more thoughts on the ranking, the pecking order of Georgia running backs a little later on the program. But for now, though, let's get ready to talk to our buddy Chip Towers.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Good to have Chip Towers back here today on Dog Nation Daily. Always a fun conversation with him. A lot to get into with Chip. And I guess, Chip, let me start with this. I spent a good bit of time before you joined us talking about running backs. I think we talked a little bit last week about the presence of Todd Gurley and Sony Michel in the Super Bowl. This is the kind of thing that I think is going to get Georgia fans pretty fired up, especially given the fact that the game is in Atlanta, the state of Georgia where these two guys played in college. How special do you think it is for UGA to have Michel and Gurley on such a big national stage coming up this weekend?
Well, I think it's a pretty big deal. I mean, we've already seen, some video clips and social media fodder of Todd Gurley talking and Sony Michel talking, and it's not unusual. It's unusual to have premier backs from the same program opposing each other, in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl or what have you. But these guys, actually played together. That's what makes it very unusual. It was just a short time they played together, and the only thing that'd make it better if it was Nick Chubb was around in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure he'll be around a lot this week. But yeah, Georgia's running back history is very, very special, and there's a lot of teams across the country, programs across the country that stake claims to RBU or DBU or tailback U. Southern Cal certainly carried that that label for a long time. But Georgia can hold water with anybody when it comes to that. I heard you talking. I was listening in this morning about Tony Barnhart's list, and it's funny that I saw his list, and Tony and I obviously go way back. We worked together at the Journal Constitution, and like any list, I immediately took issue with it on a couple of counts. I was like, I get that, but I don't agree with that. And, there's so many different factors that go into when they played and how much they played and how their careers went while they were there as opposed to how they were in the NFL, et cetera. So it's always a fun argument. But, I've looked at it closely. Alabama, LSU, you know, Tennessee over the years. I do believe in the SEC, Auburn, of course, and Bo Jackson, that Georgia is head and shoulders above the rest of the schools in the league.
Just the overall depth of names you could mention, and Courtney Blackman, responding on YouTube, has Todd Gurley at number two on the list, and Chip, for better or for worse, if we really did even have something to the effect of a scientific poll, you know, if we really went out there and really surveyed, plugged in Georgia fans about this, I'm pretty sure that Sony Michel would rank number – I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure that Todd Gurley – that's what I mean to say. I'm pretty sure that Todd Gurley would rank as the second best running back in Georgia history, according to Georgia fans. Whether that's backed up by the stats, I don't know that it necessarily matters in terms of the experience of having watched Gurley play and the dazzling nature of his highlights and obviously the maddening way that he was taken off the field for his final season in UGA, at least for part of the year, due to injury and the very weird NCAA suspension. But I think for most Georgia fans, there's a pretty strong consensus and he may be the second best running back this program has produced, with obviously the exception of the great Herschel Walker. Do you agree with me that Georgia fans would probably vote Gurley number two?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any question that Georgia fans, certainly those, you know, that we're dealing with and here and now, would all say Todd Gurley. Now, I don't really, you know, so I didn't get to see him play. I've seen a lot of the highlights and stuff. You know, Charlie Trippi, I don't really have many qualms with him being considered number two, because you're obviously talking about two different eras of football. I mean, well, quite frankly, you're talking about three eras of football when you look at Herschel Walker, Charlie Trippi, you know, and then Todd Gurley. But I would definitely put Todd Gurley in the top three, and possibly two. The thing about Charlie Trippi, we just didn't get to see him to play, and there's not nearly as much footage as there is of other backs. But for his day and age, I mean, there was no more dominant player, which makes him very similar to Herschel Walker. And this is a guy who was also, you know, the number one pick in the NFL draft. He won championships right out of the box in the NFL. He was in the baseball draft. He played professional baseball. He was just an incredible athlete, you know, all the way across the board. Now, Todd Gurley, I don't know what else he's good at, and certainly, you know, nowadays, everybody's a dedicated athlete in whatever sport they have. But for Todd, you know, the frustration with him was just you didn't get to see more of him. You know, he had the injury in his final, his junior year, and he missed those four maddening games, you know, with the autograph game, you know, and if you could have seen. But I got to tell you, for my time, and I was in school when Rodney Hampton and Tim Worley were there. I think they're probably too low. I think Rodney Hampton was fantastic, and Tim Gurley was. I mean, Tim Worley was as well. He was as close to Herschel as you could possibly get. Again, he didn't get to play really a full career necessarily with Georgia, but Todd Gurley, you know, dominated every phase of the game. He came through. I mean, you think about returning the first kickoff he ever caught for Georgia, 100 yards for a touchdown. Then he comes back after his hiatus and returns another one for a touchdown. I don't care what the referees say. he was just an unbelievable player that, you know, if you'd had a chance to see more, you just wanted to see more of him, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a great description of that. It's the highlights more so than the stats that really speak to the greatness of Todd Gurley. And, Chip, I think that's really well said. Let me transition. I want to come back to running backs before we're done, because I want to talk to you about your very fascinating take on the Zamir White situation. I want to do that later. Let me get a couple issues before we get to that, though. Georgia, as it turns out, spent pretty big to steal Charlton Warren away from Florida. He was, I think, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, due to make about $400,000 at Florida for the upcoming season. Didn't make that much last year, but would have made that much this year had he stayed. Georgia's going to pay him about $600,000 to come to UGA. For me, this is kind of no big deal. I think this is what money ought to be spent on. It's not eye-opening to me necessarily when this kind of money's tossed towards an assistant coach, because I think you need these position coaches to fill out your recruiting arsenal. And for a guy like Charlton Warren, he could be instrumental both at the end of the 2019 class, but certainly in 2020. This is the kind of thing I think that Georgia should be spending money on. What did you make of kind of a new threshold for what I'm going to presume is not the defensive coordinator, for a non-coordinator assistant defensive backs coach getting $600,000. What did you think about Georgia crossing that monetary threshold for Warren?
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me, and you're right. You know, I mean, you know, value I've come to learn in life in all different aspects, but, you know, in coaching stats and as well, the value is what somebody's willing to pay you, right? And, you know, we don't know all the ins and outs about where else Charlton Warren might have commanded interest. I mean, you know, a lot of people think that you just show up and that's the guy you want from Florida and you offer him some money and that's it. And there's usually many, many more layers involved. That you're right, he was due to, I think, to be specific, I think it was $401,500 he was due to make at Florida. I believe that was double of what his previous salary was in an escalating scale. He came there for a couple hundred thousand dollars. But, yeah, I'm not surprised about these salaries anymore. There's so much money coming into the game, period, especially in the SEC. But for Georgia, that's such a need position. It's an important position. I think Kirby, you know, just the fact that you're talking about 49 days, you know, 7 weeks that this position was open. We know for a fact that they talked to dozens of potential candidates for whatever reason. You know, Charlton Warren's a guy they hone down on, and then it takes what it takes to get him, right? I mean, it's just like Jim Chaney. It wasn't as simple as that Tennessee just came in and threw a million and a half a year and made him the highest-paid offensive coordinator in football. That was after some negotiating back and forth. So that might have been the case with Charlton Warren. But, you know, $600,000, Georgia's defensive staff is extremely young. And if you look in comparison to the offensive side, it is relatively underpaid. Now, some of that has to do with there's fewer coaches overall, and then Kirby has such a, you know, strong imprint on it. But, that's what it took to get him, and I'm not surprised at all. And they talked to a lot of very impressive candidates, and obviously it was very important for Kirby and the Bulldogs to get Charlton Warren here. They did. That's the bottom line.
So we think we know who the defensive coordinator is going to be, and in some form or fashion. I think, you know, everybody now has decided that Dan Lanning is going to be in some, you know, way connected to that job. And I think we've probably talked about this before, but why the delay in making this announcement? Certainly there would appear to be some sort of reasoning behind this, although it escapes my knowledge. Not that I have to understand it for it to be the way that it is, but why not just come out and say Dan Lanning's the DC or Lanning's the co-DC along with blah, blah, blah? Why is this taking so long?
Yeah, that really is a good question. And sometimes, you know, what you can't be sure of, there could be some changes on the other side of National Signing Day. I don't know that that Kirby's doing that necessarily, but that tends to be the standard operating procedure, really, in these things, is they tend to wait till after National Signing Day to clarify positions and everything else. There could be other coaches that are you know, still getting overtures here and there, and so he's got to keep these titles and decisions in his pocket until he's sure that all the pieces have settled back down to the ground, right? So I don't know what it is, but it just tells me that there's still, you know, some things going on out there in terms of how he's going to settle on the staff, but it's not completely settled at this point. Now, unfortunately, Kirby hasn't, you know, relayed that to me is exactly how that's going to look. But that's the only thing I can think. And I've written it. You've said it, Brandon, on your show. We've all kind of agreed. Griff feels the same way, that Dan Lanning is part and parcel of all this. It makes sense because he had an opportunity to leave for Colorado, which would have been a great move for a guy his age to be able to take over a Pac-12 program at 32 years old as defensive coordinator. He did not accept that opportunity, and, you know, we're left to assume that was because he was given an opportunity here, and so we'll just have to be patient and see how it all shakes out when Kirby gets off the recruiting trail and decides it's time to tell us, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing to pay attention to. I thought your piece on Zamir White over the weekend was fascinating, and You obviously laid out a lot of reasons why Georgia fans ought to be cautious with expecting too much from White in his first year playing, coming off now a second knee injury. And I can't dispute the facts of what you bring up, Chip, that when you look at, you know, former elite five-star level running backs, they certainly don't all pan out at the major college level. You mentioned, you know, B.J. Emmons and some others that, you know, recently that haven't, you know, kind of lived up to that billing. And obviously when you talk about an injury, there's going to be a little bit of a crapshoot in terms of what do you get in the recovery season from that, and really what do you get long-term after an injury, to say nothing of two injuries. And yet, Chip, I find myself even in that saying, if I had to make my best guess, and this is obviously a fairly significant leap, but I'm going to make it nonetheless, if I had to make my best guess as to what to expect from White next season, I'm going to say the 1,100 yards that Chubb got in 2016, coming off what I believe is a worse injury, even though it was only one injury, it was a worse injury than what I believe that Zamir White sustained here. I think 1,100 yards for White in his first year at Georgia is not an unreasonable expectation, given the track record of running backs like White at Georgia. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would disagree with you respectfully, and, sure. And that's because, you know, it's interesting on several levels. Let me first say the response to my opinion piece on that was I was surprised with the ire that it created with some people, because you know, and I did mention that some of those five stars that did not pan out, so maybe a lot of people focused on that as I was saying that this is a five star that's not going to pan out. My point is not that. My point is that this is a kid who hasn't done anything yet, and he hasn't had a chance to do anything yet, and now he's got two knee injury recoveries, you know, that he's dragging behind him as well, and it's just, I continue to hear the mounting, you know, hyperbole of expectation for this guy. So my point on that was really, I'm trying to befriend that. Really, this is not my ultimate goal, but you know, I'm being an advocate for Zamir White. I'm like, wait. You know, let's not put too much on this kid. Let's give the kid a chance, you know, to get well and get acclimated and everything else before we throw all this, you know, hyperbolic expectation on him. With Chubb, what you had when he came back, you had a proven product and you had a need, right? When Chubb came back, you knew who he was, number one, so you're going to keep feeding him because you know what he can do, because he's proven it for 2 years on a major stage. So you're going to feed him. Secondly, you needed him. You know, you knew he was better than most everybody else you had to turn to in that particular season. You don't have to force the issue with Zeus, and I think that plays into his favor. I mean, you got plenty of other guys who can carry the rock. I certainly think everything I heard about Zamir coming to school and in the interim while he was well, before he was re-injured, hey, man, this guy, he's got all the stuff. He's got all the parts. And I believe that. But coming off a double knee ACL injury, you know, an expectation of 1,100 yards or something, I just don't think he's going to get those kind of opportunities to get to 1,100 yards. They may come eventually, but I think it's going to be into the 2019 season before we start seeing him get fed like a elite running back, you know, deserves to be fed on this level. Georgia's got a lot of important stuff to play for, and he's got a very important future in front of him. They've got to protect that future and the outcome of the team before they need to, you know, before they over rely on somebody who, you know, has so much still to prove, not just to everybody else, but probably to himself as well.
Well, here's one thing I think that you and I are both going to agree on, is when you look at Georgia over the last couple of years, having two running backs at that kind of 1,000-yard threshold has been really important to this Georgia offense. And so I think what you're saying, and this is the part that I agree with, in terms of who's going to join DeAndre Swift, assuming that Swift's healthy for a full season, who's going to join Swift as that caliber player for Georgia, it's not a given that it'll be White, and I certainly agree with you on that. So therefore, if you are Georgia, or if you're a fan that just wants the best for Georgia, you've got to include the possibility that James Cook steps up into that role, or the possibility that Brian Herrien, who you've also written about hanging around Georgia, kind of finally fulfills that opportunity and that role for Georgia. You can't just rubber stamp it to be Zamir White, given the uncertainty of the status. You really are hoping for the potential of White in comparison with the potential of guys like Cook and Herrien being that complement to DeAndre Swift. From that standpoint, I think you're right to say that it's not a given that it's going to be White in that role.
Yeah, well, I don't want to underplay talent, okay? Because talent, talent is clearly talent, but we see this in the NFL all the time. And where I'm going with this is Brian Herrien. A couple of different factors about him. Number one, listen, there was a lot of discussion behind the scenes and everything about what Brian Herrien was going to do. He was one of those guys that fell into the category. Does he want to stay? Does he want to go on? Does he want to transfer somewhere else where he's going to get more opportunities? And I think we've seen, from Kirby in the past that, he wants to keep, anybody he thinks can help the team, he wants to keep them here. So I know that there were conversations that went on with Brian Herrien and Georgia's coaching staff about staying here. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily promises made, but, certainly he's going to want to know, how much am I going to be a part of the program? Now, listen, Brian Herrien, he's the biggest back they have. I haven't seen Kenny McIntosh yet. He knows the system frontwards and backwards. Now, how well Zeus does, I don't know this, but, every play that Jake Fromm can come up there and spout out in a huddle, and, every audible that he can call at the line of scrimmage, Brian Herrien's going to recognize and know how to do it. With the offensive line that Georgia has this next year, yes, I mean, there's a difference between DeAndre Swift and the other backs Georgia has. But you see it in the NFL all the time. I mean, even with the Los Angeles Rams right now, Gurley doesn't have it going on. Well, the other guy, Anderson's able to handle it, pretty good as well. I think a lot of backs are going to look really good in Georgia's system. And that's why, I mean, you just don't have to force the issue with Zeus. You don't have to force that issue with him. You have the luxury of having other backs who can get the job done and maybe done at a higher level, immediately out of the box than he's going to be able to, after sitting out, over a year now.
Hey, Chip, that's a really fascinating conversation. We appreciate you writing provocative pieces at DogNation.com. Thanks for your analysis and the other big subjects going on around the program. We'll look forward to hearing from you more at DogNation.com this week. And, of course, we'll see you back here on Dog Nation Daily again next week as well.
All right.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I want to talk more about what Chip said about Zamir White in a moment, because I think this is kind of an interesting conversation. And by the way, I'm also going to open it up. Many of you have said, hey, BA, you got to start doing more comments during the regular portion of the broadcast show. We'll do some running back comments also coming up in a couple of minutes, too. So if you've got your thoughts on kind of who ranks below Herschel Walker's, the great running back in all-time great Georgia history in this sort of week of running backs, given the fact that Gurley and Michelle are both in the Super Bowl, we'll do that coming up in a minute, too. Let me tell you about a couple of other big events happening this week, though, before we get there. Obviously, Dog Nation really excited to let you know that coming up on Thursday and Friday, there are tremendous, tremendous opportunities to meet former Georgia greats, two great former Georgia wide receivers. On Thursday, A.J. Green, the legendary former Georgia receiver who's had a great career with the Cincinnati Bengals, is going to be at the Kroger in Athens. That's 191 Alps Road from 4 to 6 p.m. there in Athens. You're going to want to be a part of that. Now, this is going to be a huge crowd, so you got to understand that there's going to be a line and you're going to be able to get a wristband. The first 150 people get those wristbands. You can't hold spots in line. So there's a little bit of crowd control stuff that's just got to be put in place because of the overwhelming demand for an event like this. But this Thursday, starting at 4 p.m., A.J. Green's going to be at the Kroger in Athens on Alps Road, 191 Alps Road. And then for the folks of you in Savannah, a lot of you have said, hey, B.A., when is Dog Nation or UGA going to have more stuff going on down there in the coastal Georgia area down in Savannah? Well, on Friday, the great former Georgia wide receiver Mohamed Nasiqua going to be on hand at the Kroger location, Savannah, at 318 Mall Boulevard. That's 318 Mall Boulevard in Savannah. Mohamed Masqua going to be on hand. Also, some crowd control measures in place. First 150 people in line do get those wristbands. But if you're in Savannah, a chance to meet Mohamed Masqua. In Athens, a chance to meet A.J. Green. And that is going to be a really, really fun thing coming up Thursday in Athens with A.J. and Friday in Savannah with Mohamed Masqua. Really good stuff. All right, we'll do our SEC through in a moment. Let me talk, though, about Zamir White before we get there. I thought the Chip's point was really interesting on that. And I think what this comes down to for me, as I said to him, if you're Georgia and you know you need that second back behind DeAndre Swift to be that complement to Swift the way that Elijah Holyfield was this year and won't be there next year, the way that Sony Michelle was to Nick Chubb the previous year, you can't just rubber stamp it and guarantee it and say it's going to be Zamir White and there's nothing to worry about. You obviously can't do that. If you're Georgia, you have to have a contingency plan in case White is still a little banged up or if the injury lingers a little longer than we all want it to. That's why James Cook is in the program. That's why Brian Herrien was, you know, is going to stay. Herrien showed in the Sugar Bowl that he can be that guy. He did it on the short-term basis. He may now show that over the long haul. James Cook's obviously a pretty elite recruit himself. You've got to be able to do that. I'm a big believer that in sports, you know, sometimes in baseball you hear about the idea of war, that staff that's out there, wins above replacement, the idea that, you know, positions have kind of an inherent value. And at Georgia, the running back position kind of has an inherent value. I don't know who Georgia's starting running back is going to be in 2025, but he's going to have about 1,300 yards. And I don't know who the number two running back for Georgia is going to be in 2025, but that back's going to have about 1,100 yards. Assuming that the world doesn't end and Kirby's still at Georgia and Sam Pittman's still doing his thing and Dale McGee's still doing his thing, whatever the names of those players are, the first guy is going to have about 1,300, and the second guy is going to have about 1,100. That's just the way it's going to go in 2019 and in 2029. As long as this, you know, ship keeps rolling down the seas, those are the expected stats you're going to have. So if White is indeed dealing with an injury that's going to linger, then the odds are he won't emerge as the number two running back. Somebody else in this roster will overtake him before he gets on the field. So if you're a Georgia fan, that's the thing that you can probably feel good about it. If White's not ready to live up to the billing next year as the former five-star guy he was out of high school, then in all likelihood, it's either James Cook or Brian Herrien are getting the lion's share of those carries because some running back somewhere is going to get 1,100 yards for Georgia in that number two position because that's just become the sort of expected value of that running back position at Georgia. And over the long haul, these things have a way of working themselves out. So I do think that's going to be a pretty interesting thing to pay attention to. Let me squeeze in a couple of SEC stories here before we get some more comments from Georgia fans on the all-time pecking order of running backs, a conversation I think is kind of fun to have on a Monday like this. Florida fans are upset. And I wish I could tell you that I was upset with them, but y'all know there's nothing more on this show that we love more so than an upset Florida fan. But Sal Cenceri has left Florida to go back to Alabama. That's a big-time hire for the Alabama Crimson Tide and a difficult name to replace for Florida. Well, the replacement, David Turner, that's apparently the name that's out there. A lot of reports say Turner is going to rejoin Dan Mullen. At one point in time, they worked together at Mississippi State. They will now work together apparently at Florida. Turner most recently was coaching defensive line at the University of Texas, San Antonio. This does not have the ring of a big-time hire to many Gators fans. This does not have the ring of, hey, we're going to go out there and recruit a bunch of elite defensive linemen. Florida fans are not happy about this. And this is the problem you're always going to run into with Dan Mullen. This is not a guy that has a history of recruiting a lot of elite players year after year. Certainly, he got a few good defensive linemen in his final couple cycles at Mississippi State. Obviously, Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons are going to be, you know, pretty respected NFL names coming up in this year's draft. But consistently over the long haul, that's not what Mullen did a lot of. When it comes to having to replace assistant coaches, a lot of what you're going to see from Mullen, his contacts with people like David Turner, the kinds of people that can't work at Georgia or can't work at Alabama, they can't work at the elite programs in the SEC, they could get a job at Mississippi State. Folks, that's who Dan Mullen has in his Rolodex. That's, you know, you when you are in a position to hire, you hire people that you know. This is who Dan Mullen knows. And when it comes to sort of keeping up with the Joneses of the SEC, which includes UGA, over the long haul, Dan Mullen's going to have a really hard time doing that. Now, speaking of defensive line coach names, Brian Baker, most recently the defensive line coach at Mississippi State, there's also some rumors out there, some reports over the weekend that Alabama's looking to hire him. I don't quite know what position he's going to be coaching there. First of all, given a couple things. As I said, Sal Cenceri is on his way over, but also because as it stands right now, Alabama still employs a defensive line coach. His name is Craig Kuligowski. He was thought to be one of the best in the sport. But apparently, he may be on the outs. Now, that's not, you know, necessarily a surprise to everybody, but in terms of the overall announcement, Kuligowski's still employed by Alabama. So a little bit of a sloppy look here by Alabama as it looks to replace coaches that are apparently still employed. And then one more SEC story to get to. LaMichael Petway was a receiver for Arkansas this past season. Decent stats overall. Had a 500 yards receiving, or I should say 499 yards receiving, caught four touchdowns. As a graduate transfer, he visited Auburn over the weekend. So kind of an interesting story to pay attention. Georgia's obviously also potentially looking at some graduate transfers in that kind of wide receivers, tight end vein, maybe, certainly wide receiver for sure. So Auburn kind of doing the same thing, apparently, as it looks like LaMichael Petway from Arkansas was visiting Auburn over the weekend. We'll follow that story and for later, and for now, we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, as I said, sometimes we like to kind of stretch things out a little bit during the regular broadcast. For the people who don't get to, you know, watch the show live, don't get to interact and comment, we like to bring some comments into the regular portion. And can I show the tweet one more time about the running backs, Tony Barnhart? And as I said, I love Tony. I'm going to try to have Tony on the show pretty soon to talk more about this. But he has his ranking of the top 15 Georgia running backs of all time. Now, I don't have time to get into the full top 15 list right now, but I did think it was interesting that Gurley, only number five on this list, behind 1942 Heisman Trophy winner Frank Sinkwich at number four. Chubb gets the number three spot, which is kind of interesting. Charlie Trippi, who, as Chip Towers said, was the number one overall pick in the, I think it was the 1947 NFL draft, he goes number two overall. And a Herschel Walker, number one on this list, obviously. So my question was, if you're a longtime Georgia fan, a Georgia fan that cares about this kind of stuff, who would you rank as that back right below Herschel Walker? Because this is one of those debates that the top spot's not up for discussion. Obviously, Herschel is not just the best Georgia running back of all time. He's the best running back in college football history. But beyond that, who do you put next on that? My guess is that most Georgia fans are probably going to lean in the direction of Gurley in that number two spot, but I'll give you a chance to weigh in and say what you want to say here. Hard Times 57 on YouTube says Herschel is the all-time best, and he also mentions Nick Chubb in there as well as a part of that conversation. And listen, there's no doubt that Chubb belongs high on this list. That's a name that's got to be there. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of where he belongs on that. Enrique Murillo also mentioned the name Nick Chubb. Brian Kephart actually thought that Musa Smith was a little too low on this list. For me, with all due respect to Musa, I actually thought there was a chance that Musa, who was the leading rusher for Georgia in 2002 when it won the SEC championship, I thought that Musa may be a little too high because his presence on this list takes a guy like Robert Edwards off the list. Now, I really think that Edwards is one of the more underrated players in Georgia history. This guy that scored five touchdowns in a game. This is a guy that became a first-round pick after the 97 season, taken by the New England Patriots. He gets hurt, and that kind of erases him from many people's memory banks. But the fact that Edwards isn't on this list, for me, is going to be a little bit of a problem. So if you want to weigh in with me on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily, you can give me your thoughts on that. If you're live on video, we'll obviously take more of your comments coming up. And I tell you what, if you want to get into the forum on this or in the comment section, we post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. We'll keep this conversation going a little bit this week because obviously Georgia running backs are on a lot of people's minds. For now, though, we need to get ready to wrap up the program, and we will do so in nice fashion. First of all, letting you know, it has now been 821 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs, and we think that number is not only going to keep climbing over the course of this offseason, but it could potentially keep climbing for many years to come, and we will look forward to updating that for you every day here with our Gatorator Updater on Dog Nation Daily, because good Georgia fans are indeed Gator haters. Let me also say congratulations going out to the Georgia men's basketball team for a really nice victory against Texas on Saturday. I watched the game on TV. First of all, from what I could tell, the crowd looked to be kind of in that game. That's kind of a nice home court atmosphere for the Dogs at Stegman Coliseum, and really cool to hear Tom Crean kind of jokingly say, we're going to get revenge for the Sugar Bowl and then go out and do that. That's Crean coming across as a UGA fan and not just a coach, and I think that'll help endear him to the rest of the fan base. So good job by Crean and the Dogs. Congratulations, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.